a Nickelodeon original podcast.
Want to listen to Avatar Braving the Elements uninterrupted?
Subscribe to Avatar Braving the Elements Premium for ad-free episodes today.
Hello, friends, benders, and non-benders alike. Welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco. And in thinking about the conversation we'll be having around this week's Avatar episode, I think we both know that it's pretty obvious who we'd make as a perfect guest, Varney.
Yeah, absolutely, buddy. It's also, very luckily, was a pretty easy ask because this is a friend of ours that we're lucky enough to spend some time with in the real world. In fact, I'm always really excited when I'm next to her at cons because she plays the best music.
Well, joining us on the podcast today, we're welcoming the voice behind the original Toph, Michaela Jill Murphy, everybody.
Thank you guys for having me on again.
We're so
back
glad
for season
to see
three.
You.
I know. So exciting.
Well, welcome back. Thank you for coming back on with us. And before we get into today's last Airbender episode, we'd also like to do a little review of where we are in the show. And I got a little challenge for you this week, Varney. Can you summarize the Avatar and the Fire Lord in a haiku?
Okay.
Haiku. That's 575 syllables. 575 syllables.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to give it a try. Okay. All right. Histories of kin link our friends to the future. Struggles in the soul. Huh?
Pretty good. Huh?
I definitely didn't write that ahead of time. So let's all disabuse ourselves of that idea. I clearly didn't know that was coming, and I clearly made it up on the spot. I'm just as cool as Sokka and Sokka's tail, guys. I'm just as cool.
Yes.
Oh,
shout out
gosh.
To the haiku battle. Shout out to Sokka and the haiku battle.
Yeah.
So
the
clearly.
Tales of Ba Sing Se.
Keeping it fun in Tales of Ba Sing Se. Keeping it lighter.
That's right.
We needed it.
We needed it. We needed your episode with Katara, and we needed, for sure, that episode. Because even Zuko's episode
Absolutely.
Has, you know, it's like kind of wonderful and light, but we still have like, you know, he's just
feelings.
A brooder. And we got that haircut that you don't really like, and that hairstyle.
Shout out to Jin, also that
Shout
girl.
Out to Jin.
That girl in the Earth Kingdom Ba Sing Se, where's she at? We don't know where she is.
That could have been your whole future right there. Whole different timeline.
We don't know what Fire Lord Zuko did after he became Fire Lord, you know? You know, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. Dante likes to say he went back and, like, gifted people a bunch of stuff, like the ostrich horses.
Yeah, definitely the girl
he stole
the ostrich horse, she gave her a stable of those,
really
100%.
Nice.
And then
really
maybe
nice.
Go back to find Jin, see what's happening.
Gift her a shop or a whole town.
Yeah.
At least a fountain.
Sounds
very generous. Let's take a little look at, or take a little listen to a piece from this episode that kind of lays it out for us. And then Dante, just give us like a quick like nibble of what comes up in this episode.
Sure.
When our mom died, that was the hardest time in my life. Our family was a mess. But Katara, she had so much strength. She stepped up and took on so much responsibility. She helped fill the void that was left by our mom.
And as we all know, this is a very Toph-centric episode, which is awesome. The gang uses Toph's earthbending to play a bunch of scams on Fire Nation citizens out of their money, much to Katara's chagrin. And then ultimately, Katara ends up coming up with the biggest scam of them all, but it doesn't exactly go as planned, and a certain bounty hunter shows up at the worst possible time. This episode is written by our buddy Joshua Hamilton and directed by our other great pal, Giancarlo Volpe.
We open this episode with just this incredibly striking image of Fire Mountain City, where we see this massive statue of Ozai with fire coming out of his hands and his mouth.
Can we give a big shout out to Fire Nation technology there? That's a pretty
massive.
We go big.
We know you guys are cool.
But I do want to ask you guys this, and I am very curious, and I'd love to hear from you all listening or watching at home as well. Does this seem inspiring or intimidating or both? Because, like, for me, I can't see the statue with fresh eyes. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't see it knowing what we know about Ozai. So I see it as kind of, like, sinister, You know what I mean? But I'm just wondering, if I didn't know any of that, would I think that this was just a really cool statue? Or like, what do you guys think?
It's very large. I feel like it's very cool and inspiring, but it's like extremely massive. Like it's a little unnecessarily. And I think that's where the question marks pop up. If it was like a little more, just not, it doesn't even have to be human size. Just like half of the size would still be massive. Right? And then it would be like, yes. An homage to like our leader.
I'm wondering about the gas bill. I'm wondering about the gas bill.
No, they just have somebody underneath. They have a little circular, you know, like rotation of three people underneath, just like firebending up all day.
Or maybe it's like underneath an oil. I was like, maybe it's an oil well. Maybe it's covering an oil well. And it's, the oil well sometimes just got an ongoing eternal flame going on.
Yeah.
They have firebender prisoners that are just stuck underneath. And their job to stay alive is to just keep firebending through.
Yeah. It's coming out hot. I mean, every time we see that statue, it's nonstop, day or night.
It's intense.
That thing is going.
It's intense.
Maybe there's a pizza oven underneath. Maybe there's a pizza there's oven. There's a pizza oven. The base oven. Yeah. That we can get, you know.
Pizza's getting delivered out of there every 5 minutes. It's fine. It's fine.
There you go.
Maybe we're delivering pizza.
Yeah, that's a little preferred over raw dough.
Well, I mean, listen, you're right. You're never going to have that problem. A pizza's never going to be uncooked, in the Fire Nation. Ever.
Those things will cook in like less than a minute. So, so hot. It's so hot.
Yeah. Exactly. So, all right. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I definitely like had that moment where I was like, maybe I know too much about Ozai, but like, I'm not loving the statue. And even though it's super impressive, so cabbage heads, let us know.
You may not be loving. I know it's not a great stat. I mean, but it's impressive. But it's impressive, Varney.
Yeah.
Impressive,
so,
nonetheless.
We're still getting oriented as we're like watching this giant statue and this little town surrounding it. Then we also have to process the fact that we see Toph getting caught up in a net by people she's running away from. That's not good. She asks this unseen person, how could you do this to me? And then we see it's Katara. I mean, that is a cold open.
That was pretty good. It's great.
Yep. So then we jump back to 3 days earlier. It's one of those clever, like, you're about to see how we got to this horrible moment where Katara has obviously betrayed Toph when they're facing off with each other. So we see them and they sort of seem actually 3 days before, like they're facing off now. Like, is this the beginning of it? Like 3 days ago, were they already like completely attacking each other and having this huge fight with each other? But then Aang announces, he sort of appears and announces that he's ready for some training. So we're like, oh, okay, I see. You know, he's going to blindfold himself with his headband. And this is just for training. And, you know, what it looked like, we don't know. This doesn't seem to be the thing that causes.
Some Toph vision going on.
Toph vision going on. Exactly. So that's exactly what happens. In just a few seconds, we see Aang with his blindfold on using Toph's seismic sense. And he's perceiving Katara and Toph's attacks and he's evading them without even having that conventional vision. And I think it's the first time that we've seen Aang use this skill, right? And it's extremely cool.
Yeah.
I love
he's
it.
Good.
Yeah. Twinkle Toes is finally doing the thing.
He's doing the thing.
What a proud moment for Toph.
I was wondering a little bit about, you know, when it's connected to the ground, I can see him seeing everything, but then stuff started flying at him through the air. And I was wondering how the Toph vision works in the air. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I was like, how does that work?
I'm trying to figure out if it's kind of like a volume and like, you know, feeling the direction. So there's a bit of like a physical analysis element.
Right.
So like, you know, when you close your eyes and you like hear a sound over there, imagine if you could feel it through your feet, like the angle with which it's leaving the ground and how heavy it is. You can kind of guess the arc, the trajectory.
Also,
he's
an airbender, so he might be able to use a little airbending.
He's got all of it.
A lot of stuff going on.
He's got everything. He is the Avatar.
At the end of the day, he's the Avatar. So this is happening. We're proud of Aang. It's working. But it is true that during this training process, when both Katara and Toph are involved, it does seem like it's kind of leading to some kind of bad feelings. I mean, they call each other names like Mudslug and Madam Fussy Britches, which we all agree, and I know you do, Michaela, that Toph always has the best insults. So sorry, Katara.
Sugar Queen.
When they started going at each other, I started getting like hook, flashback, food fight, you know, slurs being thrown at each other. I was like, how far are they going to go with this? Let's go.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up hook because I feel like that comes up again. But anyway, the girls kind of abandon Aang's training, leaving him. They're like off, you know, dealing with their own tension. And that leaves Aang very vulnerable to Sokka's very, very loud.
Sneak attack!
And, you know. bless his heart, Aang is like trying to explain to him, like, I mean, I would say sneaky is only sneaky if it's sneaky, to paraphrase. Yeah.
His lines, you know, Aang is very chill in this episode, but like his lines are just incredible. He's like, I'm assuming we're taking a break. You know, I think it's only a sneak attack when you don't scream. Like, it's just like the cool shade.
I want to give a special shout out to Sokka because, you know, all the benders, they're training and they're throwing massive amounts of water around, rocks, all kinds of stuff. And he's coming with a karate chop. Just, you know, we never know. The karate chop might work sometimes. You know, when all the other things may not work, coming with a nice karate chop, it might do the trick. Go. But, you know, he got stopped by a big piece of rock.
Again, he's maybe should be more sneaky. It's really very simple. It might have worked. The karate chop absolutely might have worked, but he wasn't sneaky enough.
Well, meanwhile, then it continues and Toph Katara is still going at it and they're fighting and it gets into a whole mud wrestling style situation, which is very a la, I don't know, 80s girls in mud, wrestling in mud. I don't know. Took me back until Aang reminds them what their original goal was actually, which is training. While Katara goes to demud herself, Toph and the boys head into the Fire Fountain City, where they immediately notice a ton of messenger hawks. Sokka had the idea of using the hawks to communicate with people so he'd never have to talk to anyone. But Aang's more interested in how they'll use the last bit of money they have, and Toph has one of the oldest ideas in the book, gambling, which I really dug. I was like, I'd probably do the same thing.
You're like, luckily, why haven't we done this sooner?
I know. Come on.
Yeah, we should have thought of this sooner.
We can stack all the decks. Luckily, there's a shell game nearby, and Toph explains that how the shell game works because people are so caught up in what they think they see, they're fooled. But Toph doesn't have that problem. Now, if you're worried about Toph taking advantage of the poor old con artist, it gets a lot easier when the dude purposely singles her out as the blind girl to play. She guesses right. And the dealer's still feeling cocky, so he suggests that they up the ante and include Sokka's sword. Now the dealer cheats with a little trick up his sleeve. He literally puts the thing up his sleeve, but Toph does some minor earthbending to correct the mistake, which is awesome. And voila, 40 silver pieces is all theirs. And they return to the camp laden with tons of great eats. I don't do the shell game, but I can do the three-card Monty. I was known in my school to follow the queen. Follow the queen. Two aces and a queen. And I get you.
Hey, our own little scam artist here.
I mean, not a scam artist. Sleight of hand.
Okay, Rufio. I mean,
you know.
You're the one who called the three-card Monty. If you were like, I used to do magic at school.
No, that would be magic. Different. It was definitely three-card Monty, for sure.
Were you taking money from kids?
They were not kids. They were their peers.
So, yes.
I went to a high school where we did a lot of gambling, dice rolling in the morning for lunch money.
You are the runaway.
Little three-card Monty.
Seriously? You know,
there was a moment where I was helping to run the numbers in the school for football game. I was, you know, it was in that kind of neighborhood, you know.
Okay. No. This is good. Actually, I'm going to be more careful when we play games together because you're already.
I need to keep this in mind. Anytime you're like, hey, let's play some poker, I got to be like, I don't know. Let's.
Yeah, Michaela and I, we have the burden of the truth of knowing how good you are at this stuff.
I love poker. That's why this episode really spoke to me.
Well, I had to go back and watch that part, that whole kind of scene again. Because what I didn't at first realize or catch was like that they do want you to win the first round. So they put more rocks under. I like didn't put that together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For some reason, I didn't put that together. And then it was like, oh.
You always let them win the first round.
And sometimes the first two or three. It depends on how like intense they are. Sometimes they'll let you win two so that you're like really feeling it. And then you just like triple and then you lose. And then you do one more time because you're like, oh, but I got those first two. And then they got you down bad. It's tough. Back to it. They come back with their winnings, the beginning of a new addiction, and Katara's like, yo guys, what the heck, where did all this money come from? And also, why didn't we think of this sooner? I'm just kidding, she didn't think that, but everybody else did. She's not thrilled, obviously, and this is a continuation of the earlier spat. It's kind of just the Toph Katara showdown. There's lots of, you know, names in mud initially, and now it's just becoming that Katara's not fun, Toph is fun. And Katara's like, yeah, okay, but like this is also not safe, let's like be careful. And Aang's like, all right, sure.
Can I interject for 1 second, though?
Absolutely.
And she's totally right, 100%. However, can we go back to the water bending scroll episode?
I know. Where she stole, love bringing that up.
Yeah.
She stole something from pirates, which again, PSA announcement, you guys out there, never steal stuff from pirates.
No,
not a great idea.
Not a good idea.
And so now it's ironic now as you are doing something, Toph is doing something a little in the gray area. She's so appalled by it.
She was protecting her people. She was protecting her legacy. Like, this is just like scamming to her, right?
I'm just saying, this all in the gray area.
I know. I mean, she also stole a bunch of clothes with everyone else.
She stole clothes.
The Fire Nation so that she could be in disguise. And I think, if memory serves, she was like the first one to get excited about it. She was like,
look at my outfit.
Grabbed a bunch of clothes. She's not perfect. That's all.
No. Everybody here is human, you know? She's a little extra judgy when it's not in service of her. She wasn't involved, perhaps.
And on Toph, I think her and Toph have a thing, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. She was, like, at the very beginning, she was like, I'm excited that there's another girl in the group. And then, you know, Toph is rolling around in dirt and waking up stinky and not being nice to anybody. And she's like, wait, what? Yeah. I thought I was going to get someone like me.
Totally. And that Toph, totally understandably, is like, I left my parents behind. Like, I didn't, you know, she's kind of been mothered by Katara this whole time. And obviously we'll get deeper into that foreshadow report in this episode. But you can totally see why she would be like, I didn't come here to have someone tell me what to do. But
no, yeah. I did make the decision to leave, but it was to like have a free life and teach this kid earthbending and live my own dream. I don't need you sniffing over my shoulder, sugar
That's
queen.
Right.
Yeah.
Avatar Braving the Elements is sponsored by Factor.
I think we have some weather bending going on. It's finally getting warm out.
Yeah, and I gotta say, whoever's controlling the temperature, I'm into it. You know, sun's shining. I'm ready to start feeling good for summer.
Well, you're in luck. Factor's no prep, no mess meals can help you fuel up for those sunnier days ahead.
Oh, trust me, my friend. They are already part of my health kick.
No kidding?
Big time. Right now, I'm all about their veggie vegan meals, but their wellness shots also really get me fired up.
In a good way?
You of all people know that's a yes.
Fair enough. But for anyone else out there looking to crush their wellness goals this May, Factor has loads of dietitian-approved meals with ingredients that you can trust, ready in as little as 2 minutes.
Head to factormeals.com/elements50 and use code elements50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month.
That's code elements50 at factormeals.com/elements50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next 4 boxes while your subscription is active.
So, but Aang is a sweetheart. We love Aang. Yeah, that poor kid, he's ping-ponging off of everybody's personalities, trying to make everybody happy. And he's like, you know what? You're right. We're not going to do this anymore. And then it's too fun. And it's like literally 2 seconds later. And
he
just gets right back to it. You know, I think Aang really intends, to be honest, in every statement he makes, every moment. But, you know, deep down, it's a little bit of a lie. He might not know it, but it is.
I gotta object. First of all, I love how much you're defending Aang. I want to agree. I think he fully knows he's lying when he makes his promise. I think this is the trickster side of Aang.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the trickster side of Aang, and it's the trickster side that sort of told the Great Divide, told the two, you know, warring factions that like, no, everything should be peaceful. Like everything's cool. I think it's just like, it is sort of like, I'm going to placate this person, but there's no way I'm not going to go do this stuff. Like, it just seems too, he seems too joyful already about doing it.
That's true. I feel like in the moment, though, he feels so bad about Katara being upset. And obviously he's like in love with her. So, you know, it's those moments of like, oh, I feel really bad. Like, I'm sorry for making you upset at me. That's what he's really sorry about. He's like, oh, I won't do it again. Like, please don't be mad at me. But it has nothing to do with the actual...
You've opened my mind. You've opened the possibility to me that he doesn't know he's lying when he says it. You've opened that up.
And then
possible.
He just changes his mind and just immediately breaks the promise.
Immediately.
Without really any guilt. Yeah. So, yeah, fun montage moment.
Immediately breaks the promise.
One after the other. Yeah, Tafang and Sokka just going through all sorts of scams, cheating some cheaters. And then we get the carriage moment with the hit the rock and fall over and just keep piling up the cash until Sokka smiles.
I think
smiles.
That's when they overdid it. Because yeah. Everyone else, if you're cheating a cheater,
right.
That's one thing. You're cheating
a cheater.
Who
can wrong you? Yeah. But once
I'm not going to wrong you. They're trying to cheat you. You cheat them back. Yeah. You know, they get what they deserve. But you're
that's
just
fine.
Now it's innocent bystanders. Just a guy riding by.
Who has like a nice carriage. So you're like, oh, money. Let's yeah, then it starts to get out of hand just a
that's
bit.
A little shady.
It is. Much. It is shadier. I think again, they sort of walk that line where like I don't think we knew that this would work necessarily, but
and
we do
find out
that he it's yeah. like entrapment kind of. Do you know what
going
I mean? It's
too
like
far.
This would be like
far.
You argue entrapment in the
far.
Court of law yeah. because it's like they as soon as a guy thinks that Sokka is willing to accept a bribe, then
right.
well, he bribes him,
Sokka
which it makes
or,
him not a great guy. But it's like
or Wang Fire.
Once we have a Wang Fire.
Fire
beard. We've gone too
Once
far.
Once Wang Fire's back in the house, Wang Fire's up for anything.
Too much.
You gotta use it. Trot that out.
Speaking of, at the last con we were at in Minnesota, a guy showed up as Wang Fire. It was,
really?
It was like
we
conjured. It was like we
That's
conjured
awesome.
Him because we had just been
talking
like, about
him. We were like, dude, Wang Fire right now?
Amazing.
Wang Fire in the house.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Let's go. This Wang Fire time. Let's go.
So yeah, Katara keeps saying like, guys, not smart. What are you doing? It's getting worse. What the heck? Like, there could definitely be some repercussions for this. But you know, it's tough. Toph tells her, you know, just chill out, woman. You know, it doesn't help, right? They just make it worse because Katara's hunkering down and Toph is just getting more extreme because she's like, don't tell me what to do.
Oh, I'm sorry. You think I should be more like you? Like some wild child?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe then you'd see how great we have it. I mean, look at us. We're traveling around the world, making easy money, having fun, with no parents to tell us what to do.
Speaking of Rufio, I don't know, a little similar Neverland proclamations.
I mean,
Dante?
There's definitely Lost Boy vibes
bit.
There.
Lost Boy energy?
Katara got a lot of Wendy energy going on with the
Huge.
Lost Boys, for sure.
Then we go into a deep dive. I don't know. Did you get a little psychoanalysis in Hook, Dante? Did somebody sit you down and be like, I don't think you didn't get that much heart to heart. I feel like your backstory.
No.
Yeah.
I just made it myself.
Katara gives us something to chew on though. She's like, hey, you're not acting out because you hate your parents, because you hate me. It's because you miss them and you actually love them and you have this void and you don't know how to deal with your feelings. So you're just being angry. And Toph's like, no, that's not true. But also maybe it's a little bit true. But it's not. Don't tell me what to do.
Exactly.
Pretty good, though. Pretty good advice. Pretty good. Every now and then, friends give good advice.
Yeah, it's
yes.
also probably right. And yeah, you know, Katara's just trying to make sure they aren't caught by, you know, Combustion Man, Sparky Sparky Boom Man. Combustion Man, I will say, you know, we haven't gotten there yet, but it's definitely easier to roll off the tongue than Sparky Sparky Boom Man when you're running away.
You know what? You say that, but now that you say that, Michaela, I feel like we need to honor Sokka's suggestion since in our Avatar timeline, we don't know him as Combustion Man yet, even though in past episodes that we've covered, we've called him that.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to honor Sparky Sparky Boom Man. So we'll just call him Sparky Sparky Boom Man.
He's still Sparky Sparky Boom Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's who he is right now.
So the tension, you know, keeps building. Toph still isn't listening to Katara, even though she's kind of right. And Katara just doesn't know how to chill out, so she just kind of keeps hitting. So they just go their separate ways. Toph is all sulky. Katara's angry. And then, you know, Sokka's like, all right, let's just walk away from this intensity and go shopping.
Exactly. It's called retail therapy. It's fine.
Yeah.
Shopping helps me sometimes. Yeah. A lot of times.
It helps all of us, I think.
Yeah. We've all been there.
How many times has this happened to you?
What a cute new pet. What are you going to name it?
Sounds like you could use a little help. From the brilliant mind that brought you Hockey, Sparky Sparky Boom Man, and Foo Foo Cuddly Poops comes Sokka's name-generating smartphone app. It's simple. Just download the app and enter some basic details about your pet, friend, or mortal enemy.
Congratulations. Your pet's name is... Fishy!
That's the kind of cleverness you could never come up with on your own. Sokka's name-generating smartphone app, available wherever you get your imaginary apps.
I guess when he goes into town, I don't know that, like, you're necessarily expecting him to immediately purchase a Messenger Hawk. We probably should have seen that coming, but just from a practicality standpoint. But he meant what he said. He wanted a Messenger Hawk. He very creatively names it Hawkey.
Well, it's not a regular hawk. That hawk, I don't know if it's a hybrid hawk. He has other things going on.
I think it's just a fancy hawk. It's just a fancy hawk.
He has things coming off his head that I don't really see another hawk.
Well, he's an avatar hawk. You know, even the regular animals there are a little, have a little flair, you know, except for Bosco. Bosco's just a bear.
Also that horse with the carriage that y'all swindled was a weird horse.
Well, I think that's like an eagle horse. Or was that the one with like feathers on it for ears?
It looked like an ostrich dragon, or something fishy.
So he's got Hawkey, but before he can really just, you know, really just dwell in this excitement of having Hawkey, he notices this wanted poster for a, if I might say, very fangy looking Toph. A lot of sharp nightmare teeth.
It was like nightmare Toph in the middle of the night. Like, dang, really?
Yeah.
Cool, though. So this, cool.
I've scared a lot of people, apparently.
I guess so. So there's this poster out there, not great news, which, you know, Sokka's like, trying to get Hawkey on board and agreeing it's not good and Hawkey poops. I guess that's him showing his support. Yes. I'm not sure. But back at camp, that's what birds do. Katara and Aang are practicing waterbending. Toph is sort of counting her spoils, and Sokka shows her the poster, which of course Toph can't see.
Well, it sounds like a piece of paper.
Exactly. So he's kind of walk through it with her. But she's psyched. She's got this tough new nickname, the Runaway. And I just want to quickly point out, this is a little bit of a share me the details moment. But before he finds the Toph poster, he actually crosses over across two other posters. The first poster is a poster for Love Amongst the Dragons, which is a play that was mentioned. Well, we'll see it foreshadow report. We'll see it mentioned again in the Ember Island Players. It's also in the Search Trilogy, for those of you who have dug into the amazing graphic novels. The second one is then for a Messenger Hawk training class, which it seems like Sokka maybe should have paid attention to and could have used. But if you go to that wonderful tome, that wonderful resource that I love and talk about all the time, the Avatar, the Art of Avatar book, you can go to the page of this show, of this particular episode, and it will show you like the translations of the posters. You can also see a design of the whole town and kind of how the Ozai statue is created by the illustrators, the calligraphy posters that are SLE. We shouted SLE out before their translations, including that apparently the Toph poster says that Toph disguises herself as a blind person. Yes. So she's so fierce and awesome that the outsiders have been like, oh, well, she's clearly not blind. Like, she can do too many things. So I love
she's
that
little
tidbit.
She's pretending to be blind and is somehow scheming everyone.
Exactly.
When you just said like how you can see how the Ozai statue was like drawn, I thought you were going to say there was blueprints in there how they built it.
Almost.
And I wanted to see.
This is a very complex show.
If there was the gas going through there, and there was the people. You can't
know. How it works.
You want to know how the final
I want to know. How the architects do this?
Obviously, Toph is getting the wrong takeaway from this. She's totally psyched about her new
nickname. But this is the first time I'm hearing about this, about the play. So you're telling me the play in The Search is the play that they're showing, which is Zuko's mom's in that play?
No, I'm saying that you'll hear the play talked about, Foreshadow Report, the Ember Island Players episode.
Yes.
And then the play is also important in The Search. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So just something to keep your eyes and ears peeled for.
Okay.
And so now Sokka's starting to think maybe Katara was right. You know, he's seeing that there's this wanted poster for Toph, that maybe they're drawing too much attention to themselves. And he's like, I think Katara was onto something. And then Toph just basically bribes Sokka to change his mind.
Shh.
Keep it a secret. Don't tell her.
Go buy something.
He falls
pretty.
For it.
Exactly.
He could be bought.
I guess that's not shocking. It's not shocking.
It's not shocking.
It's shocking. It's not shocking.
It's not shocking.
Exactly.
It's bad.
Exactly. So then Katara and Aang meet Hawkey, and that's when Sokka realizes that he actually has no idea how Messenger Hawks even do what they do. And Momo is not into it either. Momo is not feeling it. There's a very violent chase that ensues.
No, yes.
But he's not into this new buddy. And then later, Katara's feeding Appa when Toph and Sokka come back with fresh loot from town. And Katara has found the poster. So she confronts Toph with it. And there's really only one way. And this is such a familiar scene to so many of us in our real lives as young people, or as parents, I guess, for that matter, where, you know, the only way that Katara could have found the poster is if she went through Toph's stuff. So yep. It is no longer the argument immediately.
That crosses Toph some kind lines. Of gets that the crosses hand, some right? lines.
Yeah, because now it's like about you touched my stuff. You went into my stuff. You went through everything. You don't get to do that.
Invading my privacy.
Not cool.
Exactly. And I get it. I don't disagree. It's not a great look.
And she also forgets I'm blind.
I mean, yeah.
The worst thing is to go through someone's stuff and then you find what you were looking for.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I just feel like we've all had that. Like, I've definitely had that exact argument with a parent where they're like, look what I found. And I'm like, how dare you go through my stuff? And they're like, look what I found, though. And I'm like, how dare you go through my stuff? And it just becomes two separate arguments and two separate fights.
You're not on the same page.
I was hiding that from you for a reason. And now we all see you're really upset.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough. It's just tough.
Very familiar. Very familiar.
What are you going to do? Send me to my room? I wish I could. Well, you can't, because you're not my mom and you're not their mom. I never said I was. No, but you certainly act like it. You think it's your job to boss everyone around, but it's not. You're just a regular kid like the rest of us. So stop acting like you can tell me what to do. I can do whatever I want.
You know, the Toph and Katara thing, it's such a bummer when people in your crew or your family are not getting along. It's the most major bummer of all time. But cool. This really burns Katara, the whole Toph thing, no pun intended. Mm-hmm, and it's not like Sokka and Aang can fully defend her because, well, you know, she is acting motherly, right? She is kind of being that girl. Right now, come on, Katara, you're being that girl.
And she like yells at Aang and is like, sit she's up yelling, straight when you're
she's
talking
She's yelling yes, at
ma'am.
Everybody.
Yes, ma'am.
Like, there's like, you know, people talk about that alpha male energy. There's always that alpha female too. And then we don't call the alpha female out as much as they call out the alpha male dude. But it happens. So all this adds up to Katara and Toph not speaking to each other, leaving Sokka and Aang to try to use Haki to heal the rift between the two. They figure out Haki real quick. They found the instructions because Haki was like, yeah, I'm into it. Like, I'm going to go deliver this thing right over there.
Yeah.
So
it's
he
a nearby
an apology.
Delivery.
Yeah,
it's a nearby. I mean, you got to start local training before you go across the seas. He writes an apology note to Katara pretending to be from Toph.
It's just so bad.
It's so bad, Michaela.
But yet he's forgetting the key factor that Toph doesn't know how to write. Why would she? And they probably won't get very far if they send that note to Toph from Katara. So, but Katara was smart enough, and she ripped up the note. She ripped up the note. So now Sokka's going to have to figure this out without Haki or Aang's help. He grabs Toph to go have a heart-to-heart, not realizing that Katara is swimming or bathing or something directly underneath them. I guess she's getting all the mud off herself, right?
Yeah.
And they start to have this really beautiful conversation, actually.
Does Sokka not know? Or just,
I don't
just
think
Toph
he
not
knows.
Because I feel like that would be smart for him, like, you know.
It would be
cricket.
Smart to
I don't
know.
But, like, you know, maybe he, like, knew that's where she was. And so he purposefully put them there. I always gave him a little bit of credit. I'm giving everybody
like
credit
that.
Here.
No, I like you know, that. This is why we need you. I like
I
that.
Know.
It never occurred to me that he might be like, let's go have
he
a little
watched,
heart to heart.
You know, he yeah. maybe watched her go away and then was like.
They might have some sister-brother telepathy.
I like that.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean. Maybe, but you should look underneath the rock before you start having some private conversations sometimes.
That's what I'm maybe. Saying. That's what I'm saying. Maybe he knew. That's why he just perched there. Yeah, I don't know.
So they start having this conversation, and like the conversation doesn't start out great because Sokka's like not super kind about describing Katara. But then he gets all like soft and like loving and like sibling warmth. Yeah. And he starts explaining how much he appreciates her and needs her. And we're not gonna play the scene because I think we know at least one of us is gonna start crying.
Who? I don't know if that's true.
Because it's actually really written so well. I kind of got emotional because of the whole thing about he can't even remember his mother's face anymore. Yeah. Again, it brought me back to like, these are children from war, you guys.
Yes.
Well and said. We all know we're going through a war time in the world right now where there's a lot of children suffering. So this, again, Avatar is very poignant in what is happening in real world right now. So it was really beautifully written and beautifully acted and touching and heartbreaking to have your mother pass away during war and no longer remember her. But it is wonderful to know, like, your sister is that kind of maternal, like, touchstone for you. And it's a really beautiful scene.
A rock, one could say.
A rock, there possibly a rock. And, you know, Toph actually gets soft and starts saying loving things about her too.
Yeah.
But, you know, but she never wants Katara to hear that, of course. Absolutely. But then, of course, Katara is underneath there hearing everything.
Yeah.
Beautiful scene.
Absorbing it all. It is. It's, you know, one of those soft Toph moments that we don't get too often, but we get a sliver of it in Tales of Ba Sing Se. We get a sliver of it here. You know, we see a sliver of it in Blind Bandit too, when she's, you know, about to leave her parents and she's like, I love earthbending and I'm really good at it. Like, let me live my dream. And then they just want to lock her up more. It's tough.
It's tough.
They don't see each other in that moment, but they both are kind of having a return to some gentle emotions, and they try to come together and just make amends. And then Toph's like, I'm sorry, stop. And the Katara's like, no, I want to go in on something with you. And Toph's like, what? what do you mean? Okay, sure. And Sokka and Aang are like, what's going on? So yeah, they apparently set out to do the ultimate scam, which we will soon see is the ultimate scam, but not in the way that Katara is hoping. there's you know, lots of bail money on the line for Toph.
You never want to pull a scam with a goody two shoe. The goody two shoe, when they want to do it, like everybody out there that you try to do things, when the goody two shoe comes around and wants to do it with you, is never the right thing to do.
No, it's not gonna work.
Don't do it with the goody two shoe. That's where you're gonna get caught.
Yep.
I mean, no.
Never do that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rufio. I mean, Dante.
Just PSA. Just PSA.
Exactly.
Which, you know, it's a good idea. You know, there's lots of bail money, and so she's like, all right, we'll just cash you in, and then you can metal bend yourself out because they'll just toss you into prison, but you know how to metal bend, and we'll get out. It'll all be fine. Sounds all good and dandy, but no, we've returned to the beginning of the episode, and we watch this terrible, you know, betrayal happen. And Toph's getting dragged away. Katara's ready to collect this reward. Things are going according to plan. And then she's put into a wood crate. Yes. Not metal.
Yeah.
Wooden. Not ideal.
Quick note. When they caught Toph, also they had a net.
Zuko just needed a net to catch.
Not
Aang,
a lot of Zuko in this episode, but someone else is getting caught and they have a net.
And they have a net.
And there's nets happening. And
they're very effective.
Apparently, to catch an airbender or an earthbender,
you gotta have a net.
And that's great. And that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that they know.
I don't know
that
if they know anything. They know enough to put her in a wooden crate.
The question. Do they? Is that canon?
I don't know. That doesn't make sense because Sparky Boom
has told him some stuff. I mean, does he even talk Sparky Boom Boom?
I feel like he doesn't.
I don't think we ever hear him talk.
I mean,
I feel like he doesn't talk
to
anybody. Well, yeah, you're right. He has to talk to somebody.
He makes sounds, but I don't know if we ever hear him talk.
Because it was like, these are the people you're looking for. So he said, I'm looking for some people, some little kids.
Looking for some people. Yeah, I don't know. But the weird thing is that crosses my mind. I'm like, okay, it's not metal, but also, is it wood? Why is wood?
Earth-ish?
Yeah, like it's still a tree.
Are there woodbenders? Is wood like the element that's outside of the elements? You can just go around and fight all the benders if you just have some wood?
Like, I just didn't understand why that was such an issue.
I mean, you know this Reddit thread is out there. Yeah.
Can we find out?
I mean,
because trees are earth. So I'm confused.
I mean, but they're not dirt.
They're not dirt.
Yeah, they're not like the thing the planet is made of.
They're like
it's specifically dirt. That I have to like bend. So not sand.
Or like minerals or.
No, you can do sand. You're not great with sand. No, you're not great with sand.
I had to learn,
Yeah, there are specific sand benders, but it's an element of earth where I think wood. So you could just be some crazy spear wielding assassin in the Avatar verse that's just outside the bending world and just doing
you
and
just
all you
got
is some wood.
I guess.
You
yeah.
just blew
so
my mind.
I don't know. That's why I was a little bit thrown when I first saw this, and there, you know, it wasn't metal. And she was like, oh no. And I was like, but it's wood. There are forests everywhere in the earth. No? Okay.
You could karate chop wood. I might be able to kick know. Through a wooden thing, maybe. I might be able to.
Avatar Braving the Elements is sponsored by BetterHelp. Friends, when's the last time you sort of checked in with yourself? I mean, how are you feeling? How's your social battery doing? Is your social energy flowing like a raging river, or is it barely a trickle? It's pretty easy to spread yourself thin, especially if you have trouble setting boundaries or were less social this winter. Therapy is a great way to build skills that help you recharge your social battery and build a lifestyle that won't drain it. So maybe it's time to try BetterHelp. Everything is online and designed to be convenient for you and your schedule. Complete a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And there's no charge if you feel like switching therapists at any time for any reason. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/elements today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/elements.
Anyway, Katara's waiting for money. This is all apparently going to plan. And then we have the wooden, you know, crate situation. And then we have a fun visit with Sparky Sparky Boo Man coming back into the picture. And apparently very much on the lookout for these guys. So back at camp, Sokka and Aang are like, hey, shouldn't they be back by now? It's been a long time. Maybe we should go see what's going on. I always love the animal interjections. The little, you know, Appa, you're in charge. And he has to like scream at Haki and Momo for starting to get into a fight. And they listen. Oh, they're so
Appa
stupid.
Always
and
just knows the assignment. Let's be honest. Appa always knows the assignment.
Nails it. I can appreciate that.
Oh,
but
gosh.
Then it's just Dee doing that with himself. Like the idea of Dee being all of those characters and
he's
being
in
like,
a trifecta of a
exactly.
conversation just with himself.
Dee Bradley anyways. Baker just talking to himself as different species mm-hmm. of animals.
I think that's the epitome of just voice acting is that right there. That scene is just weird sounds, creature sounds of the same person, of different contexts, all at the same time.
That's it. That's voiceover.
So the boys head into town. They don't really know what the status of the situation is yet. Katara is stuck in the box with Toph now. Now we have two people in a wooden crate. And then, you know, the girls realize that they're actually bait for Aang, which makes sense. Everybody's trying to catch Aang with a net. And then,
that's why they brought
it. That's it. That's why. And then while they're stuck in there, they have a little bit of a bonding moment again, just repairing the earlier damage that was done, you know, with all the fighting and bickering at the beginning of the episode.
Nothing like being thrown in jail with someone you're having a fight with to make up. Like, now, here
keeps
we
you,
are.
Keeps you honest. You don't got
in
anything
jail
else
together,
to talk about.
We're all bad now. All of us are bad.
But, like, but I agree, in truth, like, it is kind of, this is one of those episodes where you're like, you know what? Sometimes it's good to have a fight with someone you care about because you see where the vulnerabilities come out and you do end up feeling stronger. You have a stronger bond with each other because you had that conflict than had you never had it at all. So I kind of love that message too. I went out and picked a fight with almost everyone I know just to see if like that would tighten our bond.
There you go.
I feel like, isn't that like a telling sign of like, you know, the real people in your life? And if a conflict really causes a separation, and like how much of a friendship is it or a relationship?
Say your real
it?
Friends, you have, if you've never been into like a real, you know, conflict with a friend, you might not be real,
be
real
friends. Yeah.
You know,
but you don't have to start a conflict, but just
don't
know,
start it.
Don't be afraid of that because it can bring you closer to someone, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Conflict isn't always bad, just bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Agree.
I know your relationship with your parents is complicated, and I shouldn't have said what I said.
It's okay. I was really mad when you said that because maybe it's true. I try not to think about it, but when I left, I probably really hurt them.
Where are we at now? We got Aang and Sokka walking around town, talking to each other like never do a bad thing. Never do the scam with a goody two-shoe. But they're like starting to sniff out something's wrong here because it's like a ghost town going on. Yeah. And they don't see anybody.
All the people.
And they don't see Sparky, Sparky, Boom, Boom Man on a rooftop until he takes a giant breath and angry realizes what's happening like a split second before. And he pulls Sokka out of the way of imminent death. I was for sure Sokka would be dead from that
Absolutely.
And now all they can do is just try to avoid getting blown up. Now we cut back to the wood box. Toph tries to desperately get out, but they have no earth and no water. Or do they? They may not have Toph's meteor bracelet, but they do have sweat.
Sweat.
Yes, we see Katara sweating from her brow. I did think about the water bending when Katara started, when Toph was like crying, when Katara's making Toph cry a little bit. Take them tears and let's start doing something.
Cry.
They got the sweat. They got the sweat. Yes. And then they'll have even more when Katara exerts herself. So all of a sudden, Katara up in here doing jazzercise and whatever. she's doing calisthenics up in here. And
she's making her own water.
She was like running in place. Remember, was it Jane Fonda with the jazzercise back?
Yes.
It was old.
That seems right.
Y'all might not know about this.
Oh, yeah. It was Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda was doing this kind of stuff. And so was Katara. Katara was first, obviously.
Right.
So I'm sure a lot of you can think of another way she could have made water, but we're not going to go there. No.
Go there. No.
Back with Aang and Sokka. Although you could have done that. Waterbender, you could always make water. It's not bad.
See, that's a problem. You start thinking about it, and then you're like,
let's make some water, y'all. Uh-huh. How much sweat did she make? Because that's like a sweat.
Doesn't need much.
You only need a little. Need it to be sharp, just a little sharp, like floss, like dental floss.
And she
sharp.
Used
there you
her
go.
Magic water already that she always has on Aang, so that water's gone.
That's right.
So she used the sweat. Good old sweat bending, y'all. Good old sweat bending.
Good old fashioned sweat bending. Yeah.
Right. So we're back with Aang and Sokka now, and the chase is still on. They split up. And Sparky, Sparky, Boom Boom managed to send Aang straight into the Ozai statue with a ding. That thing is solid. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
we need to get the blueprints on that.
Poor guy.
He slams hard and falls to the ground. And now Buster's got the drop on Aang until suddenly his head is encased in ice.
Yes.
Katara and Toph are out. Here they come. Here come them girls. And everyone runs for it.
Here
with
come
Buster
them girls.
Ready to attack again.
Yeah, we've been calling him Buster, too.
I know, we call him Buster also. He gets like a blast back, I assume from Toph, and then when it blows up, a pebble hits him in his third eye.
Right in it.
Which evidently does not feel great, and worse, when he tries his special combustion skills, it literally blows up in his face.
There's a lot of chakra balancing, I feel like, in this series. Like lots of moments of key points of tension and connections to the spirit worlds and your bending powers. Like lots of very subtle.
Totally.
It just shows the fragility.
I love that.
The fragility of power.
The fragility
I love that. I'm so glad
power.
You brought that up. Yeah. Let's talk about the bending in this episode. Let's talk about what we think was the most valuable bending in this episode.
Before
we get into non-bending. What do you guys think?
To me, one of the most valuable bending moment was probably Toph or Aang, whoever earthbended that thing to get away from Sparky, Sparky, Boom, Boom, where they got the thing in his head. Because otherwise, that guy could be chasing him forever.
That's
and
true.
Shooting him.
I guess long-term value, probably the little pebble, that interaction. But I think that without Katara, we wouldn't have even gotten out to be able to do that. So I'm kind of torn between Katara's water saving and the fact that she threw on that ice on his head whenever he was about to attack.
That's a really good point.
Are tied. We wouldn't be out and free without her. So technically that might be the most valuable, with a close second being the pebble moment, because then that's we wouldn't be able to escape at all.
We wouldn't have
her,
gotten to pebble moment. Yeah, I think you're totally right.
Yep.
And also there's something about that that feels nice to kind of give to Katara, because she is kind of the wet blanket in this
wins.
Episode.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean?
Literally.
So it's nice that it's okay, well, you ended up being MVP after all,
Yeah. Yeah, we actually do need you.
We give it to Katara. Let's give it to her. Why not?
Yeah.
Let's give it to her.
1 point.
Katara. She really worked for it. I mean, she worked out for that.
She did.
You know what I mean? She worked out for it.
Calisthenics, man. Calisthenics are legit, you guys. You got my laugh at calisthenics out there, but they're real. little jazzercise.
So what about most valuable non-bending? A lot of emotions going on in this episode. A lot of truth.
Yeah, a lot of emotion bending.
Some bonding. What do we think within Hockey. All of that?
I'm just kidding.
Hockey.
Sokka started the love train. Someone's got to start the love train.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When the love train happens, it got to start with someone to start the love train.
Yeah.
And I think Sokka's vulnerability
started
the love train.
Love
and
it
went to Katara, went to Toph.
Yeah, the whole, you know, the sitting on the rock and Katara swimming, that whole moment. Yeah, everybody just got real with each other, with themselves.
Yeah, Sokka got real. That's
for
good.
A moment. Yeah.
I love that.
You're right. He is the Sokka. He's the love train starter.
Sokka started the love train.
Well, we
Sokka
know that. You know, he starts lots of love
trains.
He's
a lover. He's a lover.
He's a lover and a fighter. It's fine.
Yeah. And a fighter. Yeah. He got that karate chop. He has that sword.
Yeah. Yep.
For the time being, for Shadow Report for the time
Sneak
being.
Attack.
Yes, indeed. No, I agree. And I love that. And I think just one more shout out to bending in the episode. No, I would not call it most valuable, but it is cool that we get to see Aang use that seismic sense. And we don't see him do it again for a minute.
No.
So a little foreshadow report. Keep your eyes open or your ears open or your seismic sense open for when
your feet
see Aang utilize that amazing skill that he's learned from Toph again.
Oh, your feet open, Toph says.
Keep your feet open.
I did love all the details whenever they showed the bottom of Toph's shoes. Her feet were just dangling outside. Great.
It's so good.
Take the souls out. You know, sometimes I wish that I could do that more often. I feel like, you know, the world has gotten so, especially in the city, like they're in a lot of nature.
Shooey,
so it's a little easier.
So shooey. But, the world's gotten so shooey.
No, it's dirty. Like, I would love to walk around barefoot more often, but I'm in a city, you know? Like, it's kind of not sanitary. But I still do it sometimes. So
I did a lot of barefoot on the sidewalk. And when I was a teenager, there was, and my feet were always filthy.
No.
And I was okay with it.
Yeah,
luckily
horrible.
I didn't ever step
don't
on
be
a nail or anything.
Yeah,
don't be that girl.
Don't do it.
See?
Don't
that
do
late night club girl walking from the club to the car.
Don't say
in the,
don't
want to
hear it. Don't even.
Don't do it.
We're not going.
Don't be that girl.
I have done the extreme of that once. It was very late in New York City and I was just tired and I was like, you know what? I'm walking home and I walked like 10 blocks and I was like, I'm just going to go barefoot the rest of the way. So yes, I walked barefoot in Manhattan for about 25 blocks.
That could be dangerous. That could be dangerous.
I'm still here. I'm not saying that's a good idea, but it happened.
You are still here.
My feet are still here. They still feel. There's still skin on them. It's all good.
There you go.
It worked out. It was meant to be.
Inner Toph. Inner Toph.
That's
right. Truly. I had a Toph moment.
Michaela. Thank you so much for doing the runaway with us.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh.
You brought so much. You totally like
the runaway.
Almost changed my mind about certain things in the episode. Certainly left me more open
to
some of the character choices. Yeah. It was great. Where can everyone find you?
I am on the socials along with everyone else. I'm on Instagram and YouTube at Michaela Mostly. I'm on TikTok at Michaela Jill Murphy. And those are the main three: Instagram, TikTok, YouTube.
So go on the socials, go say hi
on the
to
socials,
Michaela.
Baby.
She has always some fun content up there.
Where That's I share right. most of the things happening.
Love it. Oh, amazing. All right. Well, our little family of three today was so happy to have you join us, and we want to thank all of you for love and braving the elements. Tell everybody about it. Michaela, thank you so much, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye guys.
Thank you, Michaela.
Thank you. Thanks guys.
All right, friends, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Avatar Braving the Elements. Now, want more Avatar? You can follow the official Avatar accounts at Avatar The Last Airbender on Instagram and Facebook. You can also follow the official Avatar Braving the Elements account on TikTok at Avatar Official Podcast.
Tell your fellow Avatar friends to listen, rate, and follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
This podcast is hosted by Janet Varney and Dante Bosco. The theme song was composed and produced by Jeremy Zuckerman. Audio production and editing was provided by Zeke Rodriguez-Thomas and MindJam Media. Avatar Braving the Elements was executive produced by Lynn Keston-Sessler, produced by Lisa Summerscale-Steeler with consulting producer Janet Varney, with production support from Kira Chow, and special thanks to Avatar Studios, Garrett Beltis, and Danielle Pretzfelder-Demchik. Trademark, copyright, and phone record, 2023 Viacom International Incorporated, all rights reserved. This has been a Nickelodeon original podcast.